This is the Patriots Post Game Show with Adam Jones on Patriots.com Radio.
Brady, back to throw. Play action. Fires down the field. Caught. Tate at the 40, 35, 30. To the inside of the 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Count it. Touchdown.
The Patriots Post Game Show is your source for instant news and reaction following every Patriots game.
The Patriots are Super Bowl champions.
Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium, here's your host, Adam Jones.
Welcome into the Patriots post-game show with Adam Jones here on Patriots.com. It's our first installment of the program. Here's how you get in touch. You can call us on our Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. And of course, we want to get your thoughts on the Patriots, their victory over the Jacksonville Jaguars in their preseason opener, 47-12. Patriots come out a little rocky on their first couple of offensive drives and then score on, what was it, 8 possessions in a row to pile up those 47 points. Brian Hoyer locked in the first half. Ryan Mallett came in the second half and led 4 straight touchdown drives. All of it obviously in light of Tom Brady, Chad Ochocinco, a lot of the starters on offense and defense sitting this one out. It was a night for the second unit to come into this game. And clearly that's the biggest takeaway from the start of this for the New England Patriots and how Bill Belichick would handle it. I spent a lot of time during the week, and there's Chad right there, probably begging into the game. I spent a lot of time during the week, during this week, on ESPN Boston Radio, ESPNBoston.com, noon to 2, breaking this down and wondering how Bill Belichick was going to handle this opening preseason game. And it's pretty apparent now that Belichick, with a week plus of practice under his belt, a week plus of training camp under his belt, wasn't going to have these guys being his starters, Brady, Ochocinco, Welker, Branch, right on down the line, even Green Ellis, wasn't going to have these guys with a week plus under their belt to practice, going out, going through the motions, and risking injury, risking mix-up, whatever it is, Belichick willing to forego a little bit of chemistry in game, getting guys on the same page. He's willing to forgo that for at least one preseason game. So clearly that's where we start with the Patriots post-game show with Adam Jones here on Patriots.com. We are live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. We will get you Bill Belichick at the podium coming up here whenever Coach makes his way out there again. How you get in touch? The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. And just looking over some of the statistics, and really, one of the big things for me in the preseason, don't get caught up in the statistics, don't get caught up in the final score, but what you can get caught up in most games is the depth chart, how guys are used, what situations they're utilized in. And I would say less so tonight than in most games. 47-12, Patriots take care of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and a lot of the starters don't play. So less so, certainly compared to last year's preseason opener, where you got a real good idea of who was where on the depth chart. Those rookies came in and played. Free agents came in and had a clear role. This year, you didn't see Haynesworth, you didn't see Ellis, you didn't see your starters. A lot of the rookies are dinged up. So I wouldn't read a ton into the depth chart, but some of the younger players had some pretty impressive games for the New England Patriots tonight. Stephen Ridley, towards the top of that list, ran hard. 3 touchdowns for Ridley in this game, including one receiving. And I don't think the numbers were eye-popping, but certainly you could see that he runs hard when he's out there. And he's able to be a power runner. And look, we haven't seen Vereen yet, but in those short-yarded situations, I think you saw that Stephen Ridley could be a player for this team, or could be somebody who makes the roster and really adds something in short-yarded situations, which is something they've lacked. You go down, you look at Taylor Price and the game that he had, a 50-yard reception, also had a beautiful touchdown catch in the back of the end zone, and you say, okay, these are some young guys making nice contributions in the game tonight. Given an opportunity, certainly you don't want to say they're going to be vital contributors to this team, at least you hope not, but certainly making a case to be on this roster after how they performed tonight. And I thought both quarterbacks played well. Ryan Mallett, although he looked looked out of sorts at various points. Look, it's his first professional start, his first game out on the field for the New England Patriots, and you look at the overall numbers, you look at the fact that he led them on four straight touchdown drives to start that second half, including a touchdown pass to Stephen Ridley. And I just think you can see that he was comfortable out there in that second half. I know he's going against second and third string guys, but I thought it was a nice first performance from Ryan Mallett. I thought Brian Hoyer was the same way in that first half. Those are some of the star performers for you on offense. Certainly on defense, one of the guys who jumped out was Dane Fletcher, calling the plays at the beginning of the game in the middle of that defense. Very active, seemed to be in the backfield an awful lot, especially in that first half. I thought Jermaine Cunningham getting a sack early on was a promising sign for him as well. And look, defensively, I wouldn't read too much into it. You're going against a rookie quarterback in Blaine Gabbert, making his first professional start. You're going against a team without its top running back, Maurice Jones-Drew, arguably its top wide receiver as well, Mercedes Lewis. So I wouldn't read too much into the defensive performance. We mentioned Bill Belichick. We'll get you his audio here as he's stepping up to the podium here on Patriots.com.
And everything. It's good to, you know, go out there and get in the stadium and play. And you know, I thought there were some positive things tonight. We really got off to a slow start, obviously. And you know, plenty of things we need to work on. But you know, I think if we can just keep working hard and going forward here. You know, we looked at a lot of people tonight, a lot of young players. And that was kind of the idea, was to, you know, get them in there and let them play. And, you know, even let them play against some better people there at the beginning of the game. You know, we get a good evaluation of that. We look at the film tomorrow and you know, really see how everybody did. But, you know, overall it looked like, you know, the players competed pretty hard. You know, we were able to make some plays and Buddy stepped in there and we got a receiver leading the team in interceptions. So it's be a point of embarrassment for the defensive backs, but it's all right. They deserve it. So long way to go, one step at a time here. You know, sure we'll face a lot of challenges next week down in Tampa, but it was good to get it underway.
So what did you like best about your quarterback play? And could you assess which
drive? You know, I think both guys did a good job. They moved the ball. We scored some points. So, you know, it was good. There's plenty of mistakes, a lot of things we got to work on. But there were some positives. You know, I thought he had some good runs. You know, made a couple good catches. I mean, again, there's some other things in terms of the, you know, routes, pass protection, a couple run reads that didn't look, you know, we'll see how it looks on film, but, you know, I thought he ran hard.
Phil, looking at the rookies in particular, are you encouraged by the way that they seem to have kind of gotten the hang of things against the live opposition?
Yeah, well, we'll see how it goes. You know, I think we've seen some of those things in practice over the last couple weeks. You know, guys making some plays here and there, but, you know, not consistent, and that's what we got to work on. We got to work on, you know, doing it more consistently, but there's some talented players there. They were able to step up and make some plays. We'll, you know, take a closer look at the film and see what it all looks like tomorrow. You know, I'm sure there was some plenty of things we need to work on, but, you know, there's some positive things, too.
Bill, Stephen Gostkowski looked pretty good tonight. The long field goal, that's got to be a good thing going into the season.
Yeah, Steve's hit the ball well all through camp. So, yeah, of course, it's always good to get off to a good start. I thought he did hit the ball well.
Mm-hmm. Bill, how would you assess Taylor Price tonight? What good things did he
do? Well, you know, Taylor had some good plays. He made a couple good catches. I thought that was a tough catch. He made the end zone for a touchdown. Had a couple run after catch plays, you know, down the sideline there on the hitch pattern when he broke a tackle there by the corner. You know, but again, he's done some of those things in practice, you know, over the last couple weeks. So, you know, it's good to see him happen in the game. But, you know, I think he's been very competitive in practice and training camp this year. So, you know, the year's made a big difference for him.
What way did you think to the start being Fletcher had the green dot on the back of his helmet? Was that a fairly easy call given what he's done so far in camp and
Well, he was the most experienced linebacker we had on the field. You know, we had some other guys that weren't playing. So, but yeah, Dane's come a long way in terms of, you know, his understanding of the defense, calling signals, making adjustments and those kind of things. And the signal calling is, you know, really a new responsibility for him. But, you know, we felt like it would be good to give that to him instead of Gary. You know, Gary's done it before and, you know, just give Dane that experience tonight and see how he handled it, which, you know, it seemed to go fairly smoothly. We still got, you know, fouled up there a couple times, but, you know, overall it was decent.
What went into the decision to rest so many guys? Was it just the lack of full contact practices?
No, we didn't rest anybody. There were players we wanted to see play, and we looked at them, and we let them play. You know, I mean, there's only so many guys you can play in a game like this, or, you know, we felt like it would be good to, you know, let some guys play, let them get into the flow of the game, you know, play enough plays where they really got a chance to, you know, have an opportunity to show what they can do and play, as opposed to putting them in for a couple series and then take them out so somebody else will get in there. So we basically played two groups on both sides of the ball, and those guys got a lot of playing time. Yeah, well, I mean, it's always important to play well on third down and in the red area, which, you know, we did a better job of tonight. But, again, we got a long way to go. There was plenty of third down conversions that, you know, that we could have been on them a little bit tighter. So, you know, we got a lot of work to do. But, you know, we made some plays, and our red area defense was, you know, was decent. At least we kept out of the end zone, even though we gave up some yards and, you know, they drove it on us. But, you know, at least we were better in the red area. Well, I think all the ones we saw when we drafted him. You know, he's got good size. He's fast. He has good, strong hands. You know, he's good after the catch. So, you know, I think he's got a good combination of skills.
How much have you seen the competition with camp with the 11 receivers raise up as well as performance?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think Taylor, you know, competed well last year. He just has more experience. You know, he played in the Miami game at the end of the season last year. I thought he played pretty well in that game. So, you know, he improved all the way through the year, and really when he's had a chance to play, which hasn't been very often, but, I mean, I'm not talking about last year in preseason, but, you know, as we went into the season last year and now in training camp when he's had a chance to play, I mean, you know, he showed up and made plays. Like I said, we saw that in the Miami game.
What does he need to do to take the next step to be a top guy?
Well, I think every player on our team it's the same thing. It's consistency. I mean, everybody in this league has talent. I mean, there's every player in the league has talent, or they wouldn't be in the league. It's really about consistent performance. You know, a lot of guys can flash and make plays here and there. The good players make them, you know, repetitively and consistently. And that's, you know, I think that's across the board, across the whole league. You know, it's no big secret.
So you brought Nate Solman in the preseason, and just your initial impression with him tonight?
You know, I think Nate did some good things. You know, I think we really got to look at the film and, you know, take a close look at everybody. But, I mean, I think he has handled himself well and the practice opportunities that he's had over the last week. And, you know, it seemed like there were some things in the game that, you know, looked pretty good. And there's a couple of things that I think didn't look so good. But, you know, that's the way it is with all rookies. You know, you build on the positives and correct the mistakes and, you know, hope that we can, you know, eliminate or minimize those mistakes the next time around. Well, I think that's probably pretty much the case for every player on our team. You know, any young player, whatever position they play, there are players at their positions that, you know, are veterans, that are good players, that do things the right way, that are good examples for them. And so I think, you know, all our young players have that opportunity to learn from, you know, those veteran-type players. I think we have them at just about every position, you know, except for maybe tight end. I mean, we're pretty young there, but other than that, you know, we have a lot of veteran players at really pretty much every position. Oh, yeah, you know, we had a lot of balls out. A couple of them, one of them we lost, and there were a couple other ones that were out that either we got back or they called us down or whatever it is. So, yeah, no question, we need to, you know, we need to catch the ball better. We need to run it and hang on to it better and not let it out. You know, this week, there's no question we got to do a better job of that.
So, I do think you're going to mention the sloppiness of the offense, but are you happy with the overall tempo?
Yeah, no, I thought overall we had a good tempo. Yeah, sure, Paul. Yeah, I thought it was good. I mean, not great, but, you know, it was good. I thought we got in and out of the huddle, got up to the line, you know, ran plays and executed at a decent tempo. Yeah, sure.
Is that something that's really important just for a backup to show you that the offense is looking like, you know, a reasonable facsimile?
Yeah, well, sure. I think it's important for a quarterback to show that he can manage the team and, you know, whatever the situations are. And we wanted to give Ryan an opportunity to run a two-minute type drive, even though it, you know, it really wasn't. But, you know, the operation for us was at the end of the third quarter there, and then in the fourth quarter, or at the start of the fourth quarter, rather, and at the end of the fourth quarter when we were ahead, he was, you know, trying to use all the time on the clock in the running game and that kind of thing. So, You know, those are things that, you know, all quarterbacks have to learn, and the opportunities to work on a situation that come up in these games, you know, you just try to take advantage of. So, you know, I thought both quarterbacks had a lot of situations, and, you know, they'll learn from all of them. Some of them, you know, they handled well. Others, we could do better. But, you know, it's good experience for them. I mean, you try to simulate them in practice and all that, and that's good training, but it's, you know, really putting it all together in the game. And but I thought they did a pretty good job of that. Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks. Mm-hmm. Sure.
All right, that was Patriots head coach Bill Belichick at the podium following the Patriots' 47-12 victory over the Jacksonville Jaguars in their preseason opener. It is what it is, Bill. It is what it is. Look, he didn't rest his guys. Of course he didn't rest his guys. He just wanted to get a look at some of the younger players. Just quickly ticking through some of the takeaways from Bill Belichick at the podium before we get to you on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-293-0398. You can also email us webradio@patriots.com. It is Patriots post game here on patriots.com. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. I'm Adam Jones. Couple of the takeaways from Belichick. The first one, and it's noticeable, just real hesitant to give any credit to some of those younger guys on the team. He was asked about Ridley. He was asked about Price. He was asked about Mallett and just younger players in general. And very hesitant to give those guys credit. I'd say that's classic Belichick. Not going to pump up their tires, as Roberto Luongo would say. Not going to pat them on the back too much or put them in Canton, as Bill Belichick would say. Not going to do any of that with these younger guys. So very hesitant to heap too much praise on any of these younger players. And I think that's somewhat predictable from Bill Belichick. We mentioned he said he didn't rest his players. He just wanted to get a look at some of the other guys. I would say, fine. While that may not be untrue, that he wanted to get a look at some other guys on the roster, players like Price, players like Ridley, players like Mallett. I still think it tells you that with this shortened training camp, Belichick didn't want to trot those guys out, and that's clearly the 1A story from this game here. Guys like Brady, guys like Ocho Cinco, Welker, Branch didn't play in this game tonight. I also thought the fact that he was asked about Gostkowski, that's one of the underrated storylines in this game here tonight. Gostkowski hitting on a couple of long field goals for the Patriots, 46 and 43 yards out. Not to say that I was freaking out about Steven Gostkowski and wondering how healthy he'd be, but it is nice to see him hammering away from long range, hitting on a couple of long or at least intermediate field goals, again, from 43 and 46. I thought those were promising signs. Obviously, we want to hear from you on the Subway Fresh Tank Hotline, or excuse me, the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. And I do want to read from a couple of these emails, because they are starting to roll in. Dwight is down in Alabama, and he writes in, TP, Taylor Price, and Ridley were beasts in this game. Who impressed you overall on the defense in the game? And they also added, Andy is a fool. That would be Andy Hart. Part of the Patriots pregame social here on Patriots.com. Look, the guy who jumped out on defense, and I'm far from alone in thinking this, but the guy who jumped out on defense for the Patriots, who was all over it, was Dane Fletcher. Calling the plays in the middle of the defense, getting in the backfield, being very active. Look, it was nice to see Buddy Farnham pick up an interception at the end of the game, right?
As I called him, the white Troy Brown, playing both ways.
Right. Buddy Farnham out there. Everybody loves him. Went to Brown. Great. Nice to see him get an interception. Nice to see Daryl Richard get a couple of sacks. But I thought far and away the standout guy on defense, and it was pretty clear, was Dane Fletcher, just with
bingo,
how active he was.
Bingo! I got bingo!
In that first half, as the emails continue to roll in, webradio@patriots.com. It is the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones here on patriots.com, live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium following the Patriots' 47-12 victory over the Jacksonville Jaguars. Whenever Taylor Price scores a touchdown, of which there will be many, the scoreboard should display, you just paid the price. That's from Nick in Watertown, Connecticut, writing in to webradio@patriots.com. Look, I know that we're going to see an awful lot of Taylor Price love. And granted, there should be following this game tonight. Promising player. Promising player after what we saw tonight. 5 catches, 105 yards, long of 50, and a lot of that was after the catch. That catch and run from Ryan Mallett early on in the second half, part of Mallett's 4 straight touchdown drives in this game. I would just say, with the Taylor Price love, just remember, ball had to go somewhere. And granted, he played very well, but without Ocho Cinco, without Wes Welker, without, you know, without Deion Branch playing in this game, No Gronkowski. Ball had to go somewhere. So not to take anything away from Taylor Price. But for me, I wouldn't be overreactionary with his impact on this team. Wouldn't want to go overboard with his impact on this team. Thought he had a nice game. Same thing with Stephen Ridley. And I think these guys are making strides to locking up a roster spot. I would hope they're not going to be key contributors for this team, for the Patriots this season. One guy who I thought had an up-and-down night, and I think it's interesting, and I want to get your thoughts on this at 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can also email us, webradio@patriots.com. I want to get your thoughts on how Aaron Hernandez looked tonight. Because I thought it was a bit of an up-and-down night. Obviously, a couple of fumbles. He recovered one of his own. And a costly one on the first play of the game, turned it over, led to a Jacksonville field goal. But I also thought he was one of the guys who the quarterbacks were looking to, and I thought he was one of the guys making plays along with Taylor Price. So I just thought it was a bit of an up-and-down night for him, and we do want to get into Aaron Hernandez. We also want to hit the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Hunter is in Ohio, and you're first up here tonight on Patriots postgame with Adam Jones. What's going on, Hunter?
Hi, I was just wondering if you think, how everybody, like the Philadelphia Eagles, started Vic a little bit. Do you think it was a good choice by Belichick not starting Brady?
You know what, Hunter? I mean, that's the big question in this postgame show, right? And that's going to be the big question for Bill Belichick going forward. And thanks for giving us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. I'm not going to sit here and crush Bill Belichick for not playing guys. To me, I've spent a lot of time during the week on ESPN Boston Radio, ESPNBoston.com from noon to two, working my way through this. And I expected Brady to at least play in the game. And I thought he'd play into the second quarter. You look at how Bill Belichick has handled Tom Brady in the past. And I was dead wrong on this Collins.
Did I not hear you on earlier programming today say that you expected
Brady
to
play the whole first half?
And you were lamenting how you were going to eat your words.
Yeah, I mean, I could feel it come. I make these predictions on ESPNBoston.com. And obviously, I wouldn't put a lot of stock in them going how they've gone so far.
Everyone sucks but me.
But on Mondays, I make these predictions on ESPNBoston.com,
that's
right?
That's what you do, Jones. And you bring hot takes to the table.
I put myself out there, Kevin. And over the weekend, I said, you know what? I looked at it. The only time that Brady's really played extended snaps in a long period of time in a preseason game was in 2009. And what were the circumstances in that preseason game? He was coming back from a knee injury, went 10 of 15, had two touchdowns, first preseason game against the Philadelphia Eagles. And I said, okay, well, this preseason's a little unique too. Circumstances are a little different. Take it all into context. And just looking at it from that perspective, I said, well, okay, I can see Belichick trying to get extra snaps, extra reps for Tom Brady in this first half. And I just figured with a shortened training camp and limited opportunities to get these guys on the same page, get the chemistry going, get them all out getting used to one another. And not that Brady has a ton of new weapons this year, but Ocho Cinco is certainly a guy that I'd like to see Brady getting on the same page with in game situations, or at least out on the field in training camp, and there's just limited opportunities to do that. So, yeah, I expected him to play more, but I don't think it's the end of the world that he didn't. Look, Tom Brady could not play a snap in the preseason, and I think he'd be fine. I think Tom Brady knows how to play this game. I just feel like I'd like to see him getting out there and getting snaps. So if it were me, I would have played him, but you understand where Belichick's coming from. Nate Solder is a rookie left tackle, and I thought Solder's another one of those guys who's on the list who did not play poorly tonight. Granted, you got to factor in who he's going against, but I thought Solder held his own tonight. I think that's significant. But you know what, right guard, there was nothing overly set there either for the New England Patriots. It was LaVore who got the start at right guard, and just sort of a revolving door on that offensive line for the Patriots, or at least a lot of backups on that offensive line for the Patriots. So I get Belichick not wanting to put Brady out in harm's way, and look, he didn't play a lot of his starters. I would have liked to see him get a couple of series at the minimum, but Bill Belichick knows what he's doing, and I'm not going to sit here and crush him for not playing those guys in the first game. They'll certainly play at least the next 2 weeks going forward. 508-298-0398. That's how you can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can also email us, webradio@patriots.com. It's the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones here on patriots.com. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. If you listen to Patriots pregame social, Paul Perillo and Andy Hart here on Patriots.com. Don't forget to tune in to us. We'll be doing this after each and every game all season here at Gillette Stadium. And we're Of course, breaking down the Patriots' 47-12 victory over the Jacksonville Jaguars, and we continue to hear from you, webradio at patriots.com. That's where Steve writes in, hey, Adam, offensive stars in the game tonight, Ridley, Price, and Mallett. Defensive stars were Dane Fletcher and the defensive line. I really wish Ridley would change how he attacks the gaps. I notice he turns his back every time he hits the line, and he needs to get more confidence taking a hit. Overall, I'm more optimistic about the season than I was 12 years ago. Yeah, it was only preseason in the second string, but if our second string can pump up a rather solid performance, then I'm confident about our starters. And if our starters don't show up, we have some depth who can take their spots. And again, that's Steve writing in to Web Radio at Patriots.com. Look, one of the things that is difficult about preseason, and difficult in a game like this where the Patriots just play a lot of their second stringers, you can't really get a good feel for the depth chart, though you kind of know these guys are the backups, essentially, right? Like, this is your second string. So I guess in that regard, you get a decent idea on what the depth chart is going to look like. But to me, you also sit there and you go, okay, it's really tough to get a good feel for the depth chart because the starters didn't play. How are they going to utilize, you know, key guys come the beginning of the season? So you didn't get that. I wouldn't get too caught up in stats. It is eye-popping that they put up 47 points in the opening preseason game. They score on 8 straight possessions, 6 of them touchdowns, 4 of them led by Mallett. And, you know, it's easy to get caught up and say, well, Taylor Price, this is what they saw in him. You could see the speed. You could see the elusiveness that he had in the open field on that 50-yard grab, and most of it was a catch and run from Ryan Mallett. You saw Stephen Ridley running hard. You saw Nate Solder holding his own, and that's someone I would add to Steve's list of the offensive stars. I thought Nate Solder totally, for one night, held his own. It was a preseason game. It was against the Jacksonville Jaguars, but totally, I thought he held his own in this game tonight. And if anything, I think you can sit there and go, okay, you feel more confident putting Brady out there. If Matt Light isn't ready to go in the game next week, you can feel more confident putting Brady out there and having a rookie, Nate Solder, protecting his blind side, because I thought he looked okay tonight. Stephen Ridley, by the way, nice mixed bag. 54 yards rushing, 47 yards receiving, over 100 total yards, 3 touchdowns in the game tonight.
He had the old hat trick.
The old hat trick for Stephen Ridley. 2 rushing.
And he could have had 4.
1 receiving.
But Richard Medlin
so
stole his touchdown.
So you know what? You know what, Kevin? You set me up nicely to our next email, webradio@patriots.com. Brad writes in there, Adam, what about Richard Medlin? He came on strong at the end. Well, look, I don't want to go overboard on Richard Medlin here.
Where's Richard?
A couple of 2-yard touchdown runs for Richard Medlin. Don't forget, the thing that my assumption and my guess would say jumped out to the coaching staff the most is he was the guy who had that neutral zone infraction on the punt, which extended one of those Jaguars drives. Yep. I believe it was the one.
It went from like 4th and 3 inches.
It was the one right before halftime.
Yep.
Jacksonville driving down. They had an 11-play, 40-yard drive. And look, the Patriots wound up scoring at the end of the first half. Brian Hoyer with a pretty nice drive. Didn't get in the end zone, but did lead to another score right before halftime. My guess is that's going to be Medlin's legacy in this opening preseason game. And look, he's just in a logjam at running back. You know, I don't see him beating out Green Ellis or Woodhead or Ridley after tonight. Vereen, jury's out because he hasn't played, but I don't guess he beats out Vereen. And if Kevin Faulk is healthy, I don't think he beats out Kevin Faulk. So obviously, in a numbers game, I don't think you can read too much into Richard Medlin. Taylor Price is more in Stephen Ridley's role. There are good players ahead of him. He got an opportunity tonight. Somebody had to step up. And Price is the guy who got the ball, along with Aaron Hernandez. Ridley was the same way out of the backfield. Green Ellis didn't play. Vereen's hurt, so Ridley's going to be the guy. Although he didn't start, it was actually Danny Woodhead who got the start in the backfield on the first couple of possessions for the New England Patriots. It was Ridley who really impressed. More so with his running style, real hard-nosed running style for Stephen Ridley tonight. And I think he was one of your stars in this game along with Taylor Price. I thought both the quarterbacks played well and Nate Solder as well on offense. Some of the guys who jumped off the page to me. Who jumped out to you in this game tonight? Give us a call, Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. It is the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones here on patriots.com, live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. You've already heard from Bill Belichick. We also want your thoughts on Belichick's decision to not play the starters in this game tonight. I expected him to play more, and we'll get into that next here on the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones, patriots.com.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epocher. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson here to tell you about the second annual Mo Si Fatupu Comedy Benefit. The Mo Si Fatupu Comedy Benefit is back and better than ever. Tuesday evening, August 23rd, will feature special appearances by Hall of Famers John Hanna, Andre Tippett, Gino Capoletti, as well as current and former professional athletes and local celebrities at Gillette Stadium. The evening will feature comedy performances by headliners Lenny Clark, Paul D'Angelo, Paul Narduzzi, Steve Sweeney, and more. With live auctions, silent auctions, and nonstop laughter, this event is a fun evening you won't want to miss. All proceeds will benefit the Mo Si Fatupu Memorial Scholarship Foundation, which provides college scholarships to young athletes with learning differences, exemplifying the outstanding qualities that characterize our dear friend Mo Si Fatupu. Last year's event sold out quickly, so be sure to purchase your tickets today. Visit the Patriots.com website for more details and purchase your tickets. I look forward to seeing you at the second annual Mo Si Fatupu Comedy Benefit.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast, and it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Hoyer steps in. What a play. Taylor Price, a beautiful throw. Hoyer, again, sidestepping the rush. He delivers a strike, an 11-yard touchdown, and the Patriots look sharp.
508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline for the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones here on Patriots.com. I see you guys lining up. You can also email us webradio@patriots.com. We're live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. We're going to be doing this for 2 hours after each and every Patriots game this season, preseason, regular season, postseason, should they get there as expected. So make sure you bookmark us. Make sure you mark this down after each and every Patriots game. We're going to be here on Patriots.com throughout the season. I do want to introduce one other subject. Along with Belichick playing his starters, or electing not to play his starters, I should say, playing a lot of backups outside of the safeties, really. The only two guys who got some burn were Chung and Merriweather. And you got to wonder why that is. Is it just straight lack of depth at safety for the New England Patriots? Or is it, as Mike Reese speculated, ESPNBoston.com, maybe it's these guys, Belichick wants to get the backline communication, wants to get their communication better between those two guys. Is that part of it? So those are really the only two guys who got some burn in this game tonight. We've already talked about some of the stars in this game. Want to get into the quarterback play, certainly something that I thought was impressive tonight. And we'll hear from you, 508-298-0398. Again, that's your Ace Ticket Hotline, but I did want to introduce this into the game as well. Patriots opened in a 4-3. And yeah, it wasn't Haynesworth or Will Fork or some of the other guys, Sean Ellis, who I think will be there come the beginning of the season. But you did get a look at that 4-3, and they were able to get a bit of pressure on the quarterback. And I'm not saying let's go all in and celebrate against the rookie quarterback and a team without a couple of their best offensive players. Maurice Jones-Drew, Mercedes Lewis, they were without some of their best weapons. So let's not go overboard. But I thought the pass rush looked better. And you got to remember that a lot of the Patriots front seven, a lot of their typical starters weren't out there tonight. So we'll get into all of that here on Patriots postgame with Adam Jones here on Patriots.com. Again, how you get in touch with us, 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us webradio@patriots.com. Let's go down to Arkansas. That's where Charlie dials us up on the Ace Ticket Hotline. What's going on tonight, Charlie?
I was just interested in how Ryan Mallett did. Was he throwing it pretty sharply, and did he manage the team well?
Well, Charlie, he led the team on four straight touchdown drives to start the second half, and I thought he looked pretty good. And if you just look at the statistics, I think it's probably a little better than he actually looked on the field tonight. 12-19, 164. A lot of those yards were on a catch and run. Most of it done on the ground by Taylor Price, a 50-yard reception. There was a touchdown pass from Ryan Mallett. I thought he looked a little uncomfortable in the pocket at times, but by and large, for his first professional game, I thought he did a pretty good job handling the offense in the second half, and it's hard to argue with four straight touchdown drives to get things going and really picking up on the momentum that Brian Hoyer gave the Patriots in that first half.
That's wonderful. It sounds like he's back to his old ways.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, I don't know how you guys view him down in Arkansas, but I know a lot of people here in New England are pretty excited to get a look at this kid, and tonight he acquitted himself pretty well.
Thank you very much.
All right, that's Charlie giving us a ring, 508-298-0398. It's the Ace Ticket Hotline. Here on Patriots postgame. Now, why are you going
to
do that,
Kevin? We love to hear from the Bible Belt.
Now, why do you got to do that?
No, you were wondering how they felt about him, and I think that sums it up pretty accurately, right? There.
You know what? I would say he looked a little uncomfortable at times in the pocket, but you know, why wouldn't he?
The other thing that struck me that I noticed is there were times when he was getting up and down the field, especially after a run of substantial distance or a pass. And he kind of looked like an old man to me. He looked like an old man who had ginger knees, and he was kind of just hobbling up and down the field. So that was a little bit concerning, considering the kid just came out of college. It's not the reincarnation of Bledsoe out there.
It wasn't even Castle, I don't think. Even that kind of athleticism out there. But I'm not going to sit here and nitpick the way the offense played tonight. I mean, just factor in what they were going against. A bad team, at least in my opinion. A team that's not going places this season. And a lot of their second and third stringers. And that once you factor that in, I think they performed as well as you could hope for.
But to draw comparisons, he's more of a Bledsoe-type quarterback. Big, tall, strong guy.
Not exactly mobile.
No, strong arm, cannon of an arm, not exactly accurate, willing to take some chances, but he's not going to sidestep anybody.
Look, I've been following him in training camp and watching him closely in training camp, and not exactly accurate is a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
But tonight, 12-19, hard to argue with. And, again, I just think when you actually see it on the field, you get a look at how he looks leading the offense. I just think it looked right. It was against third stringers, but it looked right to me.
Yeah, he had one, and the Bledsoe came to me at Pac-Man when I was watching the in-stadium practice. And I forget who I think it was Ocho Cinco. He overthrew Ocho Cinco, and he actually hit the upright. And it was one of those where he just kind of like pointed to his helmet, like, what am I thinking?
Right.
And I was like, oh, that's totally true. The only thing that's missing was the padding of the ball, you know, when he's waiting to release it.
Batting it down and beelining it right between the numbers to some defender. Yeah, that's all he was missing. In that walkthrough at Gillette, no, I thought he played well tonight. I thought Brian Hoyer played excellent tonight as well. You can email us webradio@patriots.com. That's how you get in touch with the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. That's where Christopher writes in. Adam, I'm not impressed with Nate Solder's pass blocking tonight. He was oversetting guys and getting beat inside and sometimes getting beat on the edge. But his run blocking was strong and his reads were very good. But I am worried about him getting beat on the edge. And again, that's from Christopher, calls himself Cappy, writing him from Connecticut to webradio@patriots.com. Look, I think if you're Bill Belichick and you had any hesitation about Tom Brady's blind side being protected by Nate Solder, I think a lot of that was alleviated tonight. I think, you know, you may not feel great about it. You might not feel as good about trotting him out there behind Matt Light and your starting offensive line. But if I'm Bill Belichick, I thought just like Nate Solder acquitted himself, or Matt Ryan Mallett acquitted himself well, I thought Nate Solder did the exact same thing. I think saying that he struggled in pass blocking, that's nitpicking tonight. Patriots had a pretty good night moving the football. Again, factor in who it was against. But I thought Nate Solder's one of the guys who stood out tonight on offense for the Patriots. You know, after Price, after Ridley, after the quarterbacks. But I think he's on that list of standout performers tonight for the Patriots. 508-298-0398. That's your Ace Ticket hotline for Patriots postgame with Adam Jones. Let's go to Christy in Boston. You're next up here on Patriots.com. What's going on, Christy?
Hey, Adam. I'm Kevin.
How are you?
Great to talk to you. We're doing well. We were out here talking about Hoyer and Ridley and how they connected a few times. We wanted to see what you thought and if you think Ridley will play at all this season.
Well, I'll answer the second part first, because with Ridley, if Vereen's healthy, I would still think Vereen's going to be the guy getting snaps. I think Vereen, if he's healthy, could push Green Ellis. So I would expect Ridley to be, I don't know, fourth on that running back depth chart. But I think he's on the team, but I'd put him somewhere in the same boat as Taylor Price, you know, kind of at the bottom of the position, but certainly earning himself a spot on the team.
I've heard some hot takes this year for some Boston media people who have said that Ridley's going to lead the team in carries.
I don't
know if I agree with that, but I definitely think he's going to get more burn than most people think.
So, I mean, I certainly don't think that's going to happen. I'm not going that far on Ridley. I thought he ran hard. He ran well tonight, which I thought was a nice sign out of him. Christy, I also thought Brian Hoyer, as well as Mallett played in that second half, I thought Hoyer, really outside of those first couple of drives, and specifically in that two-minute drive right before halftime, I thought showed a lot of poise. I thought he showed you why there's a chance that the Patriots might be able to flip him to another team, maybe next season. And I know the analogy has been drawn before. Matt Schaub performed in the preseason. Other teams wanted to take a flyer on him, and guess what? He's turned into a pretty decent quarterback in this league. So I think there's a chance that down the line, it's good business to develop these quarterbacks, and I think Brian Hoyer could be one of these quarterbacks they develop and move. I thought he was very good in this first preseason game tonight.
Agreed.
All right, well, thanks for giving us a ring. 508-298-0398 here on the Ace Ticket Hotline. It's the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones here on Patriots.com. Emails continue to roll in to webradio@patriots.com. And I thought the last one was a little nitpicky. We've heard mostly positive stuff. Mostly positive stuff, Kevin. I don't mind a little nitpicking. John writes in to webradio@patriots.com. Hey, Adam and Kevin. And I got to tell you, Kevin, you've been on most of these emails. I've just been admitting you. I've just been saying, you know, just Adam. It's a very selfish thing for me to do. So I'm gonna start adding you into these as well, especially if you're on them.
Yeah, I mean, I have my own little group of haters that listen to patriots.com radio on a weekly basis. So it's weird to kind of be like included in that, because usually it's a shot at me. It's not kind of an inclusion in the email.
So I'm going to start including you on them now. So
this is a good change.
It's been rude of me. It's been very rude of me not to include you on these first couple.
It's a welcome change.
We're still working here as a tandem. You know, myself and Kevin, if you didn't know,
we've worked
at another radio station in the past together. So, you know, I think we have a nice rapport, but you know, we're still working things out here. Still working out the details. So I'll include you on the emails, Kevin. My apologies.
That.
It was rude of me.
I appreciate that.
Webradiopatriots.com. That's how you get in touch. And that's where Josh writes in. Hey, Adam and Kevin, who do you think wins the fourth receiver position, Tate or Price? Yeah, I know it's early. And he also asked a question about Darius Butler. Did you see improvement? And was he playing in the slot? We'll get to Butler in a second, because I thought he had a rough night. And he was lining up all over the place. He started outside, did play some slot as well. I thought he had a difficult night. So we can get into Butler in a second. But who do I think wins the fourth wide receiver position? I will say it's interesting. It's interesting, Kevin. Because you look and look, Ocho, Welker, Branch, those guys are set. Barring injury, barring something along those lines, those three are set. Those next three, and especially if you think Slater can find his way on this team again. And look, Matt Slater had a big catch. I didn't think that was the greatest thrown ball by Brian Hoyer tonight.
That was the definition of high pointing.
Yeah.
The second that happened right in front of me, I'm down on the field. And he went right up and high-pointed that thing. And that was the first words out of a lot of his teammates' mouths on the sideline. They're just like, oh, my God, like, where did that come from?
Get it at its highest point. What was it, a 43-yard catch for Matt Slater?
Yeah.
And, again, I don't think it was the best thrown ball of the night by Brian Hoyer. I think Slater bailed him out to an extent on that ball. So if Slater finds his way on again as, like, a special team, six-receiver depth guy, it's really a matter of Edelman, Tate, and Price. And the more I think about this, and I've been kicking this around a little bit, and actually a friend of mine brought this up to me first, and my initial reaction was to say, well, you're crazy. But I don't know that Brandon Tate's role on this team is set. I don't know that he's going to be given a spot on this team. And look, his one role outside of special teams, kick returner, is can you be that deep guy? Can you be that deep threat? But doesn't Taylor Price have some of those same elements to his game? So
and
really,
probably better hands.
I was looking at it. Yeah, I mean, certainly tonight, right? You saw that catch, the touchdown catch in the back of the end zone.
The big knock on Tate Pac-Man is that he has all the speed in the world, but he can't run routes. He's not a good route runner.
No,
and that just doesn't work in this offense.
Look, for all the fanfare about Brandon Tate coming out of college, this is a guy who was extremely productive at the University of North Carolina, but most of it was on kick returns. He had one good season as a receiver. And I just think when you're not productive in college as a receiver, unless it's a quarterback issue or unless you're coming from a program like Ohio where Taylor Price came from, unless there's extenuating circumstances, it's tough for me to sit there and go, well, he wasn't productive in college. Now he's going to be productive in the NFL. So I know this team needs a deep threat, but I initially was looking at it as Taylor Price versus Julian Edelman for that last receiver spot. And the more I'm starting to think about it and the more I look at it, I think it could be Taylor Price versus Brandon Tate is maybe the more accurate way to look at it, because Julian Edelman does give this team a decent amount. When you talk about punt returns, when you talk about special teams, when you just talk about being another one of those slot guys, another one of those threats in the passing game for the Patriots. And I just think the more I think about it, again, it was Edelman versus Tate for me. I think Edelman may be more set than I was initially giving him credit for.
I agree with that. And Edelman's got some special in him. Like, he'll bust one every once in a while.
So I just think, and that's part of it, right? The punt returns, he can be dangerous in that type of game. And
the big one against Miami is the one that comes to mind last year, where he basically ran halfway through that
100%.
Team.
And I just think, you know, the way I've been looking at this maybe wasn't accurate to start out. And maybe I wasn't giving Julian Edelman enough credit. And maybe part of that is just because he took steps back last season and regressed, if you want to call it that, after a pretty productive rookie season and obviously a big playoff game in the absence of Wes Welker and a loss. But I just think maybe I was partially clouding my judgment with him as well.
I think we need to get this over with, because we have an Edelman drop, and it's not the most glamorous thing in the world, but it's from a press conference, and you gotta listen to this.
Yeah, hit me with it.
I love Dick's as well.
Just absolutely phenomenal. He loves Dick's Sporting Goods. Can you believe that? Big fan of Dick's Sporting Goods.
Who isn't? Who's not a fan of Dick's, Kevin? Who isn't a fan of Dick's?
So apparently they're a friend of the show now. There you go.
But no, that would be more my take on it. And especially after tonight, Taylor Price certainly falls in that deep threat role. So is it Taylor Price versus Brandon Tate? He's a guy who didn't find his way onto the field. tonight in this game. You know, is he on the hot seat? That's something I would take away.
That kind of surprised me a little bit.
That question was also in there about Darius Butler. I thought he had a rough night. I thought he had a rough go of it tonight.
When is outside, he not had a rough inside,
no, 100%. He's a guy I was pretty high on after his rookie season. Thought he could be a contributor last year. And this is a chance for him to maybe bounce back, is what you were thinking, or at least what I was thinking. And far from the case tonight for Darius Butler. I think it was pretty clear that the Jaguars were picking on him at various points in this game here tonight. And I just think whether he was outside, inside, I thought he had a rough go of it. So certainly not a banner night for Darius Butler.
He's a guy that consistently seems to find himself two and three steps behind. The receiver will make the play, and you'll look and say, oh, you know, who is that off of? And then you'll see him trailing him, and you're just, you know, you just shake your head. Because you wonder how a guy that's that athletic and that can jump off the page in all of the physical tests they do at the combine, and by all accounts, he was a freak at the combine, and he just comes into this system and has just struggled from day one. And I honestly think, Pac-Man, the only reason he's still here is because he got drafted so high.
No, and look,
same thing with a guy like Ron Brace.
Look, that's part of it. I mean, those guys come in and they certainly have the measurables, they certainly have the athleticism, but I think that's part of it for those guys. You can email us webradio@patriots.com. You can also give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. It is Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones here on patriots.com. We are live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. And obviously a big victory for the Patriots tonight, 47-12. Don't get too caught up in the score. You don't need to get too caught up even in the statistics. But one of the things, or a couple of the takeaways, obviously the big one, starters didn't play tonight. How do you feel about that? And I was just, the way I would react to that is I was surprised. I just expected them to play more. And I was at the walkthrough inside the stadium yesterday, so maybe I should have seen this coming. But I was still surprised they didn't at least come out for a possession. They didn't at least come out for a couple of possessions and at least play part of that first quarter. I mean, that caught me a little off guard tonight. And I think there's a benefit in a short training camp. And this is kind of the way I look at it, right? A lot of people say, well, you've only had so many practices. So why put these guys out in a game situation? Why put Brady, when we're saying people, who we're talking about is Tom Brady and that first team offense especially, why put those guys in harm's way? They haven't had enough practices to get out on the football field. And the way I kind of look at it is, okay, you have X amount of time before the kickoff, September 12th in Miami, Monday night game to start your season, right? You only have so much time to get ready for that game, whether it's training camp practices, whether it is preseason games, you have a finite amount of time to get ready for these games. And to me, this was one of those chances to take advantage of that time, to utilize that time. It is a missed opportunity. And again, I don't think Brady's going to come out and have a terrible game one because he didn't play a lot in the first preseason game. But I think the offense may be a little off kilter. And maybe it takes the offense a little longer to get up to speed. Look, they're obviously going to play in the preseason, and I understand it's nitpicky. And if anybody could miss every single snap in the preseason, Tom Brady could, and he could still come out and make a run at MVP, right? He's a two-time winner of that award. So, you know, for me, I just expected those guys to play more on offense and defense. And really, your only real starters in that game tonight, Chung, Merriweather, Maybe I'll give you guys like Jermaine Cunningham, though we really don't know how the depth chart at D-line will work. You know, maybe I'll give you guys like Ninkovich or even Aaron Hernandez, but I think we're stretching a little bit. The surefire starters, the one guy out there, or the two guys out there, were really your safeties tonight. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. Let's hit the phones. Tyrone is in Delaware, and you're next up here on Patriots Postgame with Adam Jones. What's going on, Tyrone?
Hey man, how you doing? How you guys doing?
We're doing well, man. How are you?
Doing okay. Really quick points. Since I'm in the Delaware area, I get Philadelphia and Jared Page, man. That was a big mistake. Belichick leaving and go. I think we needed him because Merriweather is not doing nothing. And you're right, well, Darius Butler, I think he's the shot. And, you know, I think that was a mistake. The Belichick is doing, on the front line, I think going with the 4-3 a little bit more, that was the best thing he could have done. I think you know, it was a lot of positive stuff taken, even though it was second string, second and third stringers. That was a lot of positive stuff I seen out there. And that thing you was talking about with Brandon Tate and Taylor Price, I think Taylor Price is way better than I'm done with Brandon Tate, to be honest with you. And Elderman, I don't know. You sure Elderman deserves a spot on it? Because we already got him, Welker, Deion Branch. I mean, you know, I think we need more of a deep, fast. I'm not sold on Brandon Tate, but what I'm saying is do you really think Elderman deserves a spot on this team?
Well, no, Tyrone, my short answer to that is no. And thanks for the phone call, 508-298-0398. That's how you get in touch with Patriots postgame. That is our ace ticket hotline, as we are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Look, my short answer to that is no. I don't think he deserves a spot on the team. I just think when you look at some of the guys here, I think Edelman, the more I really look at the value to the team, he can replace Wes Welker. Should Wes Welker get another injury, he can help you out. I just think he does a lot for the team. So the more I look at it, if you're looking at a deep threat, it's more between Price and Tate. Both were third-round picks, and we'll see. We'll see. Brandon Tate was productive to an extent last season, mostly as a kick returner, but did have, what, four touchdowns, over 400 yards last year in his first real year as a receiver for this team.
The one that stands out to me is the Minnesota game, the Brady busted play where he hit him for like a 45-yard touchdown.
Piles up an awful lot of yards. Most of it's on a broken play.
But that's the kind of Brandon Tate, like, that's what we're going to see from him. You're not going to see him run a picture-perfect post route and Brady hit him. He's not there yet. Like, he's not a good route runner. And people... It's hard for people to understand, how can a guy be this physically gifted and this fast and not catch footballs? But if you don't run the route you're assigned to, you're not getting the ball from 12.
I just think those three guys are fighting for two spots. Unless you're talking about somebody like Jeremy Ross or somebody like Darnell Jenkins, you're really going down the depth chart. I just think those three guys are for two spots. And the more I think about it, I think the real competition is between Tate and Taylor Price. I do want to go back to that one question that Tyrone brought up. And it was two parts. I agree fully. The 4-3... With the way the Patriots have struggled to pressure the quarterback, and I understand sacks aren't the end-all be-all, but the way they've struggled to get after the quarterback the last couple of seasons, why not try something different? Why not at least vary it a little bit more? I know the Patriots played an awful lot of sub-package defense. You can never pin them down as a 3-4, 4-3 team. But I just think the 4-3 looked right tonight. And I understand you didn't have Haynesworth or Will Fork or a lot of your starters, but there were elements tonight that I said, okay, four sacks in that game tonight, some pressure on the quarterback, Cunningham early, Fletcher was in the backfield a lot. I just thought it looked right. So there were elements of that 4-3 that, to me, I thought were promising. And Tyrone also brought up the safeties, and not Jerod Page specifically, but just the lack of depth at safety is somewhat alarming, isn't it? You look at the team and you go, okay, Sanders when he's healthy, Merriweather, and also Chung tonight, and then you have Sergio Brown, and after that, it is a pretty steep drop-off. And I don't know, part of me just says, okay, they could use another guy. Like, one of my big things in this offseason, I talked about this a lot on ESPN Boston Radio, ESPNBoston.com, from noon to 2 each and every weekday over in the neighboring studio. We do it right out at Gillette Stadium. Spent a lot of time talking about this in the offseason. I thought one of the underrated needs for this team was a veteran at safety, helping out in that secondary, that Rodney Harrison role. Not that you're going to replicate that. But there were guys out there that you could have gone after and gotten. De'Aaron Sharper was one of them. You know, getting somebody back there who can be more of a playmaker in that secondary. And now for me, it's less getting that kind of guy, but just getting some depth at safety. And I thought it was pretty apparent. I think that's a major reason why Merriweather and Chung were out there. Aside from communication issues and getting those guys on the same, that's a major reason why they played so deep into that game, just a sheer lack of bodies at safety. That's one of the areas where, for me, I just think that the Patriots could use another body or a little more depth because they're pretty thin at safety. Your number for the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Let's continue with the phone calls. Watson is down in Washington, D.C. What's going on, Watson?
Hey, just wanted to say, you know, I mean, I was listening to you guys talk, and the way I see it, when you got those rookies up there and they're just banging it up, you should not stop them. I think Belichick did the right thing. It's just, you know, the guys, the vets were ready to take the field a little bit, but when they're getting blood, let them get it.
No, and look, Watson, it's the first preseason game, and thanks for the phone call. 508-298-0398. It's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can give us a call back anytime here on Patriots Post Game with Adam Jones on Patriots.com live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. I just think for me, first preseason game, I don't want to overreact to guys like Ridley. I don't want to overreact to guys like Taylor Price because, again, somebody had to get the ball. I thought the quarterbacks looked good. I thought Nate Solder held his own. I don't want to say looked good, but held his own, certainly. And if you're Belichick, if you're this coaching staff, you can say, well, you know what? Maybe it wasn't perfect, but I feel better about trotting Brady out there next week if Matt Light's not ready to go. Protecting the blind side of Tom Brady, I feel a little better about the way it looks. But in terms of those rookies and young players, I just thought it was pure Bill Belichick and predictable on some level, but just pure Belichick where he didn't put the rookies in Canton, as he often says, right? Let's not put these guys in the Hall of Fame. Didn't spend too much time pumping up these rookies or these young players, and a lot of them had good nights, and he didn't take the bait on any of those. He's not pumping these guys up too much, but as Belichick told you, they weren't trying to rest guys, quote-unquote. Just wanted to get a look at some other guys, and I think there were some promising looks tonight. Not going to vault Stephen Ridley to starting running back or Taylor Price to officially on this team, although I think they both made some strides to securing roster spots tonight. I just don't want to overreact to what we saw. Somebody had to get the ball. It's against a lot of second and third stringers against a team like Jacksonville. But certainly, hard to argue with a 47-12 victory tonight, and I thought the quarterback play was especially promising. We'll continue to get into the defense. Your thoughts on that 4-3 and how it looked tonight for the New England Patriots. Still want to hear from you. Are you okay with Belichick's decision not to play the starters? Clearly it worked out in terms of getting these young guys some reps. In terms of the victory, 47 freaking points, 8 straight possessions, scoring on 8 straight possessions. Clearly it worked out. But did you want to get a look at some of these guys? Did you feel like you missed out on an opportunity to see Ocho Cinco for the first time in a Patriots uniform? We'll get into all of that on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Hang out on the lines. I promise we get to you next here on Patriots Post Game with Adam Jones, patriots.com.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only 4-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson here to tell you about the second annual Mo Si Fatupu Comedy Benefit. The Mo Si Fatupu Comedy Benefit is back and better than ever. Tuesday evening, August 23rd, will feature special appearances by Hall of Famers John Hanna, Andre Tippett, Gino Cappelletti, as well as current and former professional athletes and local celebrities at Gillette Stadium. The evening will feature comedy performances by headliners Lenny Clark, Paul D'Angelo, Paul Narduzzi, Steve Sweeney, and more. With live auctions, silent auctions, and nonstop laughter, this event is a fun evening you won't want to miss. All proceeds will benefit the Mo Si Fatupu Memorial Scholarship Foundation, which provides college scholarships to young athletes with learning differences, exemplifying the outstanding qualities that characterize our dear friend Mo Si Fatupu. Last year's event sold out quickly, so be sure to purchase your tickets today. Visit the Patriots.com website for more details and to purchase your tickets. I look forward to seeing you at the second annual Mo Si Fatupu Comedy Benefit.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit verizonwireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots Checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots Checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots Checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots Checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Welcome back to the Patriots Postgame Show, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. Have an opinion on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios, here's your host, Adam Jones.
This Patriots Postgame here on Patriots.com. Adam Jones with you. Till almost 1 o'clock here tonight. We'll be going 2 hours after each and every Patriots game throughout the season. That's preseason, regular season, postseason. Following each and every game here on Patriots.com. How you get in touch? The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. You can email us webradio@patriots.com. Patriots dominated the Jaguars in every single facet of the game tonight. 47-12 victory. We've taken you through some of the stars of the game. Who stood out to you? 508-298-0398. Again, you can email us webradio@patriots.com. That's where Kyle writes in. Hey, Adam, and Kevin. I'll add Kevin. He wasn't on this one. But hey, Adam, do you think the versatility that Farnham showed tonight and the fact that he made Belichick smile, that he may have a chance of making the 53-man roster? Big fan, Kyle, writing into webradio at webradio@patriots.com. And in a short word, no. I mean, I don't think that Buddy Farnham has a chance at the 53-man roster, but does he have another chance at making the practice squad and being on and off the practice squad like he was last season? I'd say absolutely.
He checked in tonight.
He's a guy who is in the mix. Look, I mean, we talked about Brandon Tate not being a route runner. That's something that Buddy Farnham clearly is. I don't know if that's going to put him on this team. I wouldn't think so. But certainly the fact that he has versatility doesn't hurt. And the fact that he had an interception tonight doesn't hurt. And he's one of those young guys who actually Bill Belichick took the bait on a little bit and said, you know what, he played pretty well for us tonight. And he didn't do it quite as much. I mean, he certainly didn't shoot down Taylor Price or Stephen Ridley or Mallett or Hoyer or any of those guys. But he wasn't exactly on those guys' bandwagon. He just said, hey, standard Bill Belichick line. Let's check the tape. We'll get back to you on that. 508-298-0398. It's the Ace Ticket Hotline for Patriots postgame with Adam Jones here on Patriots.com. Let's hit the phone. Sean's up in New Hampshire, and you're next up here on Patriots.com. What's going on, Sean?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well, man.
Great show. Just had a couple comments. I thought Taylor Price played really well, and I just wanted to get a sense of how you guys are viewing a couple positions. The wide receiver position, I think, is going to be some tough decisions. And I also think that if Bill wants to load up on the defensive line and keep some extra ends, he's going to have some hard choices between that position and safety position. And I just kind of wanted to get a sense about that. And then secondly, just wanted to, I know it's just the first preseason game, but looking around the scores in the other games, I didn't see where there was really too many teams that shot out the way. I mean, I was blown away the fact that they had so many touchdowns, I guess, and that kind of led me to think that, how do you guys think that the rest of the league is right now as compared to where the Patriots are at?
Well, Sean, and I think that's a good point. Thanks for the phone call, 508-298-0398. That's how you get in touch on the Ace Ticket Hotline here on Patriots.com. And, Sean, call back anytime. You can also email us, webradio@patriots.com. It's a good point by Sean, right? And we'll answer the questions about the depth at wide receiver and also the defensive line in a second, but it's a good point. You look around the league, San Diego, Seattle, 17-10 game. Dallas, Denver, 10-9 game. Oakland, Arizona, it's the first quarter, but that's 3-0. Philadelphia beat Baltimore 13-6. Like, you kind of get your mind going a little bit, and you go, well, what if Brady started this game? How many points would they have put up? What if it was Ocho and Welker and Branch out there and Ben Jarvis? What if the starters played? How many points would the Patriots have put up? So I don't want to say, you know, they're going to rewrite the record books like they did in 2007. But certainly, you look around the rest of the league, you see low-scoring games with a lot of teams that played their starters. The Eagles were one of them, at least to start the game. And you just kind of look around and you go, well, I just look at the way the Patriots played. And again, didn't play their starters. You wonder in your mind's eye how many points they could have put up if those guys were in this game tonight. I did think the quarterback play, not going to call it exceptional, but I thought Hoyer was pretty good in that first half, especially late in the first half, managing the two-minute drill. I know they just managed the field goal right before halftime, but I thought he showed a lot of poise and has a lot of those qualities that the Patriots are looking for in a quarterback, right? And I thought Mallett gave you a little bit of that as well, but you could see it from Hoyer on display, and I told you this earlier in the program. I think it's part of the reason why they have a real chance at flipping him in the future for a draft pick. And maybe it won't be a Matt Schaub high draft pick. Maybe it won't even be what you got for Castle. But I just think it's always good business to develop these kind of guys. It's part of the reason why I was on board with the Mallett draft pick, maybe not the player as much, but the idea of taking a quarterback there, good business to develop these guys. And I think Hoyer has a real chance to be that next guy for you and this organization. I do want to get back to that first question that Sean brought up. Wide receiver and the depth there. I already told you, especially after tonight, I think a pretty decent way of looking at this is how the position boils down. If you assume they're keeping six wide receivers, those bottom two guys have to have an impact at some level on special teams. And really, when I say six, the guy you'd be keeping is Slater, who I thought had a nice catch tonight, but clearly contributes in most of your special teams. And he's been on this team for a couple of seasons, which would lead you to believe that he's got a chance on being on this team again. So let's say they keep Slater. I also think Edelman isn't a lock for the team, but with what he gives you, I think there's a pretty good chance he makes the roster. And it may boil down to Brandon Tate against Taylor Price. And I'll tell you, if that's the case, Brandon Tate's probably sweating a little bit tonight. Didn't play in the game. Didn't even dress for the game.
Didn't get a chance to really prove himself.
And Taylor Price was one of the stars of the game. So if you're Brandon Tate and that's the case, you're sweating a little bit. And that's the first thing I'd say. In terms of defensive line, I'd love to sit here and give you a breakdown. It's hard. It's hard when so many of those guys didn't play. And it's hard to really give you a good idea on the depth chart when a lot of your starters didn't play, and specifically a lot of those defensive line guys didn't get into the game tonight. So I think that's one of those things that, as the preseason progresses beginning next week, I think that's one of those things that we'll get a better idea about. And we'll get a better idea of how the depth chart is going to look going forward. I think on offense, it's pretty clear what the Patriots are doing on offense, right? And one of the things I don't think we learned is how much the Patriots are going to be in three wide receiver sets against two tight end sets. Like, there were a ton of two tight end sets tonight. It was clear they wanted to get the ball to Hernandez, who I still want to get into. We haven't really delved into him at 508-298-0398. You can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline there. You can also email us, webradio@patriots.com. But it was clear they wanted to get the ball to Aaron Hernandez early on in that game. But if it's Ocho and Welker and Deion Branch, are the Patriots running more three wide sets? Are they still going to stick with these two tight end sets? And don't forget, Gronkowski didn't get on the field
here
tonight.
No G-force.
So I just think that that's one of those things that I kind of had on my list. Well, what do they get into offensively, and how does it look offensively? And we can't answer that question. Defensively, we can answer the question. How'd it look? A lot of 4-3 tonight. Now, I don't know what the depth chart's going to be. I don't know who the starters are going to be, per se, because a lot of those guys didn't play.
If you knew that, then you'd make a lot more money than
you do. Well, look, I don't see how we can read into that too much and really start making cuts on the defensive line because so many of the guys didn't even suit up. So I think a wide receiver, you do get an idea. But on the defensive line, I just think we haven't seen enough of those guys yet. And I don't want to make a judgment on, you know, cutting Gerard Warren or somebody along without even seeing him play in a game here tonight. But one thing that's checked off, one thing that's off my list is it going to be 4-3? Is it going to be 3-4? That's pretty clear tonight. Now, you can call it a media fabrication if you want to call it that. You can call that blown out of proportion. You can talk about the responsibilities, and it's similar in a 4-3, and they played a 4-3 in the past, and you're never going to be able to pin down this Patriots defense, and I get all of those things. But I think we can all agree that it looked a little differently tonight than the way they played defense the last couple of seasons. And the Patriots came out 4-3 defense. Your tackles were Kevin Love and Daryl Richard. Your ends were Eric Moore and Jermaine Cunningham. And I just think that laid that to rest a little bit, that they're going to open in a 4-3. So what's the depth chart going to look like? We'll see going forward this preseason. But I want to see more out of those D linemen. I want to see Carter. I want to see Haynesworth. I want to see Sean. I want to see them in a game before I start knocking guys off the team and saying, this guy's got to be on the team. This guy can't be on the team.
You're playing with words and doing puns and you don't even know it. I want to see more.
See, there you go.
Guy that used to play here on the defensive line.
Freudian slip.
He used to be pretty good.
Freudian slip, Kevin. Didn't even know. Still miss that guy being around here.
Hey, young lady. What's your name?
That was big old number 93 back in his head.
Big C. I like it. Big C's got some game, huh?
Richard Seymour fan hotline.
Another classic.
Nicholas writes in to Patriots, web radio at patriots.com, I should say. I'm excited to see a man like Ocho Cinco on the field. I feel as though Belichick and Brady can refine Ocho's ability to become more of a threat out on the field. Also, what happened to Shane Vereen? Well, Shane Vereen hasn't been practicing. He's been dinged up. So he didn't dress for this game tonight and didn't make it out onto the field tonight. I shouldn't say didn't dress. Did not participate in the game tonight. And he's been dinged up, hasn't been practicing. So I wouldn't say that was a total shock. But you got to wonder, I mean, with the way Ridley played tonight, did he bump himself up the depth chart? My guess would be no. But, you know, we'll see going forward. If Vereen can't get on the field, if Vereen continues to have nagging injuries, same thing with Rozai Dowling at the cornerback spot. If these guys continue to have nagging injuries, you know, did the depth chart change a little bit? And even though it's a preseason game, and even though I'm telling you, you don't want to get too caught up in the stats of a preseason game, especially given who it was against, the Jacksonville Jaguars, you know, does the coaching staff alter that depth chart a little bit? I think that's something you can ask going forward. I wouldn't do it quite yet. But in terms of Ocho Cinco, this goes back to Belichick not playing his guys or not starting his number one unit on offense or defense, really outside of those safeties. Didn't get a look at Brady. Didn't get a look at Ocho Cinco at his first opportunity in a Patriots uniform. And I just talked about this, but to me, my biggest gripe about not playing the starters is we still don't have that question answered, right? We still don't have that question answered of how much is it going to be three wide? And when it is three wide, where's Ocho Cinco? Where's Branch? Where's Welker? How do they line up? Are they interchangeable? Is it always Welker in the slot? How versatile is Ocho Cinco within this offense? Those are all things we could have started answering tonight. And since none of the guys were on the field, we're not going to be able to answer those questions. But that's really my big one on offense. The big one on defense, obviously, we've kicked it around a lot. I've done it during the week, ESPN Boston Radio on ESPNBoston.com from noon to 2 every weekday. These guys do it here on PFW in Progress. So defensively, it's been pretty clear. 4-3, 3-4, how'd it look? Well, the 4-3, that one was answered tonight. You can check that one right off the list. But something that's not answered, how are they going to utilize the tight ends? How are they going to utilize these wide receivers? Are you going back more to these three wide receiver sets that you've had in the past? And that's a big question for me, because last year I thought a big a big part of that offensive identity were those bone-crushing tight ends, Crumpler, Gronkowski, the addition of Aaron Hernandez. I thought those two tight end sets really gave you a tougher offensive identity and a nastier offensive identity. And certainly the way Green Ellis runs helps. Getting Logan Mankins back helps. But that was one of those things that last year, I know they got knocked out in the first round of the postseason, but in the 14-2 season, that's one of the biggest things for me that I said, okay, I like this. You're getting back to those two tight ends. That used to work in the past. I like that. That looks right to me. And I don't know. I'm a little uneasy about getting back to more three wide receiver sets. And I know you got a lot of talented guys on this team. You got to keep them healthy. What are you going to do? Tell Deion Branch to ride the pine? Or tell Chad Ochocinco, you know, to sit out everything but three wide receivers? I mean, just, you know, how are you going to play that game? But I just think that's one of the byproducts. And we could have started answering those questions tonight if Belichick got his starters into the game. Unfortunately, we didn't. So we're going to continue asking those questions for another week.
I get some tasty nuggets for you.
Yeah? What do you got? What do you got?
Take a breath here.
K-Call?
I get, for all those nitpickers out there that are just kind of, you know, hemming and hawing, chew on these.
Chew on these. All right.
One of the biggest weaknesses of on this team last year was being able to get off the field on third down. Their third down defense was atrocious, especially in third and long. It was so frustrating to most fans. Tonight, I mean, take it for what you will. The Jags were playing their Jag players, so let's not get too excited.
I see what you did.
But the Jags were only 3 of 13 on third down. The Patriots, 4 of 4 on fourth down. And the Patriots had 28 first downs with a time of possession of 34-55. 6 of 6 in the red zone. And then after the first two drives, the next 8 were scoring. 6 of them touchdowns. Not bad.
No, not bad at all. And look, again, I just think defensively, and you have to factor this in, because it's easy to just look and say, well, Ridley played well and Taylor Price played. Factor in who you were going against, though. Factor in who was on the field.
Yeah.
Like, remember, what was that? Was it the Slater catch? It was the Slater catch, that bomb down the right sideline.
Yep.
Remember who it was against? Do you remember who the defensive back was?
I have no idea.
Terrence freaking Wheatley.
And he was right in front of me, and I still didn't.
Terrence Wheatley,
okay.
Who Patriots fans know well, right? So before we go saying, hey, well, Hoyer had that bomb to Matt Slater, remember who it was going against, okay?
Yeah.
So I just make sure you factor that in. That's part of the difficulty of preseason. But I will say, you look at the statistics, or you just look at the way, I mean, it's hard to come away not impressed with at least the way the offense rolled over drive after drive after drive. And you just pointed it out, Kevin.
It wasn't our first team guys either.
No, I mean, but look, you pointed it out. The first possession was, the first play was
disastrous.
A fumble by Aaron Hernandez.
Disastrous.
Okay. But my point is that's not on Hoyer. It's not on the offense. It's a turnover that got away from you, right? And Hernandez sat out the next possession, which was a 3-and-out.
Yep. Fumble 3-and-out. Then all of a sudden all hell broke loose.
Then 8 plays, 49 yards, touchdown. Steven Ridley took the lead, never relinquished it, right?
And I got to give some love too, while we have a second, to the third member of our team here, new to Patriots.com radio. Matt LePan over here, who's feeding me all these.
Is that where you got those tasty nuggets?
These tasty nuggets.
From Matt.
Our stats guru.
Oh, I like it.
So I just wanted to take a moment to introduce him.
What? People can include Matt on the emails as well. But they go 8 plays, 49 yards, touchdown. Steven Ridley from 1 yard out, 7-6 lead. Next drive, 4 plays, 32 yards, touchdown. Taylor Price missed extra point, but you're still up 13-6. And by the way, phenomenal grab in the back of the end zone by Taylor Price. Ed Hockley, who only had 2 reviews. I was surprised, and they were both in that first half, and they were both on Patriots touchdowns. But I thought they were going to overturn that catch by Taylor Price, but you know what? Let the touchdown stand. Phenomenal catch by Taylor Price in the back of the end zone, one of the highlights of the night. Next drive, 6 plays, 49 yards, 46-yard field goal for Gostkowski. He's another guy who had a good night. I mentioned that right off the bat. He's another guy who had a good night. Patriots are up 16-9. This is when it really started, though. 14 plays,
snowballed.
62 yards, field goal. Gostkowski right before the half, 43 yards. I thought was a great drive by Brian Hoyer.
His final drive of the first half.
Great poise, great execution. I agree. Mallett comes out. Listen to these drives. 13, 82, touchdown Ridley from a yard out. 6, 75, touchdown Ridley on a 16-yard pass from Mallett. Next drive, 12 plays, 80 yards, touchdown Medlin. And then 6 plays, 31 yards, shortened field because Buddy Farnham had the interception. Touchdown, Medlin, it's 47-12. Snowballing, and the wheels have really come off for the Jacksonville Jaguars. But just the fact that they had these long, drawn-out drives, and the fact that the defense was bailing them out, the Jaguars' longest drive was 13 plays. They also had a 12-play one in there. That was their opening drive. After that, they went 4 plays, 3 plays, 4 plays. And you just kind of look at it and you go, okay, the defense did their job. So not that you want to get too caught up in preseason stats, but I just think it's hard to sit here and nitpick, especially when the Patriots didn't have their starters. Like if Brady came in and rolled against the Jaguars backups and they scored, fine, that's one thing.
Yep.
But it was backups against backups and the Patriots and guys held their own.
Third and fourth teamers against third and fourth teamers.
No, 100%.
And hey, here's another little interesting tidbit that we haven't touched on quite yet. I think it was fourth quarter, probably less than 5 minutes left. The Patriots had the ball, fourth and three on the Jaguar side of the field. You're up 47-12 or something like that, and Coach Belichick goes for it. Was that him practicing situational football? Because you could make the argument that, hey, that's a great situation for Mesko to practice his pooch kicking.
It's a fair point.
If you want to, you know what I mean?
No, it's a fair point. And look, you talk about situationally, that's part of the reason why I really highlight the end of the first half drive for Brian Hoyer. That's a chance for him to be in the two-minute drill. It's a chance for him to, if he ever came into a game, there's an experience for Brian Hoyer. I thought he handled it well. I know they didn't get in the end zone, but I thought he handled that pretty well. The clock management, Patriots used a couple of timeouts. They got the field goal right before the half. So you talk about situationally, that's why that drive stood out for me. Just going back to the emails, webradio@patriot.com. Kyle writes in, hey, Adam, and in parentheses, Kevin, LOL. Do you think with the young talent the Patriots have at running back this year, it's safe to say that fan favorite Kevin Faulk will not be wearing a Patriots jersey this season? And Kyle, who wrote into webradio@patriots.com, I just think that Kevin Faulk's best bet at making this team, I know it sounds strange, but his best bet for making this team is being where he is, right out of the gate, starting on PUP, and making it 6 weeks into the season with that PUP exception, and then trying to sneak away onto the roster, right? It's exactly how Troy Brown did it in 2007. Starts out, PUP, works his way onto the team. I don't expect him to have a huge role on this team this season, but I do expect him to be on the team, even if it's just in that capacity, right? Even if it's just in the capacity of being an injured guy with that extra roster spot being on the team, I think he'll certainly break camp in that capacity. I think that's the best way for him to make the team. And you know what? You get in, you're on PUP, Patriots suffer an injury in the first 6 weeks of the season, Kevin Faulk's right back on this team. And I think that's his best bet to make this roster, as strange as it sounds. Your number for the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. It's the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones. Here on patriots.com, we are live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium, where the Patriots took care of the Jaguars tonight, 47-12. We spent a lot of time talking about the offense. And I told you, my star of the game, bar none, no questions asked on defense, was Dane Fletcher. He was the captain of the defense tonight. He was calling out the plays. He was active throughout that entire first half, making plays in the backfield. I just thought he was the clear-cut guy on defense. And John is out in Montana. He's giving us a buzz here on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, and wants to talk a little Dane Fletcher. What's going on, John?
Hey, not too much. I was just listening to you guys' show and wanted to give a little love to Dane Fletcher.
This just shows how we reach, you know, we're not just Foxborough here, Pac-Man. We're like worldwide. Nationwide.
Reaching, very, very broad reach.
If we're reaching
on this program.
We got
a strong stream, Kevin. The last thing you want is a weak stream on the internet. You don't want to be one of those weak stream guys, and we got a strong stream here on Patriots.com. Ah, da da cha. But, John, sorry, you said you wanted to talk a little Dane Fletcher.
Well, it's just great. I'm currently attending Montana State University, and I was lucky enough to watch him play here at Bobcat Stadium. And we all knew he was going to be great. I know his family fairly well, and I'm going down to see him play in Denver on December 18th of this year.
Now, John, can you give us a little background? Doesn't his family own, like, a restaurant or some sort of establishment in Montana?
Yes, in downtown Bozeman, they own a joint called Burger Bob's.
There you go.
I bet it's delicious.
That's really that's really cool though.
Like Burger Bob's. I bet the place is just delicious.
So,
sounds right up my alley.
So does Burger Bob's pack the joint in to watch Patriots when Dane's playing?
Well, his dad Bob Fletcher, who is named after, owns the bar right next to it called
goodness.
The Cannery, and it's been kind of unofficially renamed Patriot Headquarters Bozeman.
That's awesome.
I mean, the Fletchers are entrepreneurs. Who knew? Who knew? John, thanks for giving us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. You can also email us, webradio@patriots.com. I do think with Fletcher and just his role on this team. Part of what I like about guys like Dane Fletcher is just that legacy with the New England Patriots, right? Undrafted guys, they come in, they make the team. Role expands throughout the year. Role expands throughout the years, I should say, right? I mean, they just have this tradition of those undrafted guys coming in, having success. Dane Fletcher, one of those guys last season for this club, and you just kind of wonder who it's going to be. And look, those guys always have an uphill battle. They always have an uphill battle. But in a shortened offseason, without OTAs, without training camp, you know, you wonder, in your mind's eye, are these guys going to have a little bit more trouble making this roster this offseason? But you know what? There are guys competing for those spots on this club. Dane Fletcher, one of them last season, and you wonder who it's going to come from or where it's going to come from this year. And I think there's a pretty good opportunity that it happens again. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. We continue to take your thoughts. Patriots 47-12 victory over the Jacksonville Jaguars. Again, starters didn't play in this game. Are you okay with it? And also, how'd the 4-3 look? Did it look that different from installments of the defense that we've seen in the past? We'll get into all of that next. Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones here on Patriots.com.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson here to tell you about the second annual Mosi Tutupu Comedy Benefit. The Mosi Tutupu Comedy Benefit is back and better than ever. Tuesday evening, August 23rd, will feature special appearances by Hall of Famers John Hanna, Andre Tippett, Gino Cappelletti, as well as current and former professional athletes and local celebrities at Gillette Stadium. The evening will feature comedy performances by headliners Lenny Clark, Paul D'Angelo, Paul Narduzzi, Steve Sweeney, and more. With live auctions, silent auctions, and nonstop laughter, this event is a fun evening you won't want to miss. All proceeds will benefit the Mosi Tutupu Memorial Scholarship Foundation, which provides college scholarships to young athletes with learning differences, exemplifying the outstanding qualities that characterize our dear friend Mosi Tutupu. Last year's event sold out quickly, so be sure to purchase your tickets today. Visit the Patriots.com website for more details and to purchase your tickets. I look forward to seeing you at the second annual Mosi Tutupu Comedy Benefit.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
What will that be on?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots Checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
That was impressive. Ridley in the end zone for the third time tonight in his first game as a Patriot.
That was Don Bricky following Ridley's third touchdown, as you just heard, in the game. Gave the Patriots a 33-9 lead. That was courtesy of Ryan Mallett, his first professional touchdown pass. And the Patriots take care of the Jacksonville Jaguars tonight here at Gillette Stadium, as it is Patriots postgame with Adam Jones on Patriots.com. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. We'll get to you on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Did just want to get Aaron Hernandez out there and his night tonight. I know a lot of people, he's an easy guy to say, well, he had a rough night, struggled holding on to the football. And certainly on the first possession, the first play for the Patriots offense, not exactly the way you drew it up, not the way you'd want to see it start. But I thought Hernandez was pretty productive for this team tonight. And I thought it was clear the Patriots wanted him to get the ball. I still think you can see how elusive he is. Certainly the fumbles, you don't just want to excuse them. But targeted six times, caught every single one, recovered one of his own fumbles on a play where he was fighting to get into the end zone. Look, yep. If he's doing that in a key game in the regular season and it's a crucial turnover, he's going to get killed, and rightfully so.
Just hope it doesn't translate. That's
I don't think it will, right? Like, he didn't fumble at all last season in his rookie year.
Bad habits born in the preseason.
It's just one of those games, Kevin, where it's your first one out there. And I would just say, look, aside from the fumbles aside, I thought Hernandez had a pretty nice game tonight. And I thought he was clearly one of the guys the Patriots were targeting, along with Taylor Price. 5 grabs on 7 targets for Taylor Price. Remember the one? He's lit up on one of those plays. And just got right back up off the turf, got right back out there. And Taylor Price, look, he was out there a lot on the field for this team tonight. Those were two of the guys the Patriots clearly in the passing game tried to get the ball in their hands, along with Stephen Ridley, who had that one long touchdown catch we just played for you, 16 yards. But other than that, still a nice little safety valve out of the backfield. I thought all those guys had pretty nice nights for the Patriots. Obviously, the fumbles aside for Aaron Hernandez. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. That's where Sam is in Worcester. And he's next up here on Patriots.com. What's going on, Sam?
Not much, man. I just wanted to come on here real quick and just talk about, I just was reading an article the other day about how the Patriots were turning the page of going away from the draft strategy and just diving into free agency and getting the most guys they could get to try to run out of title. And I just find that so disrespectful. And I find that tonight be complete proof of that while everyone is playing checkers, the Patriots are constantly playing chess. The third team that was out there tonight is a second team, couple of first teamers on 29 out of the 32 teams in the NFL. It's like the draft strategy, and just, you can't say enough about what this guy's doing. He's really just playing with people's heads out there.
Yeah, and look, and Sam, we appreciate the phone call, 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline, Patriots postgame with Adam Jones here on Patriots.com. You can also email us, webradio@patriots.com. I just don't want to go overboard with one preseason game right? Like Stephen Ridley had a nice game. Taylor Price had a nice game. I thought the quarterbacks looked good. But let's not go overboard and say, you know, these guys would be starters on a lot of teams or the third stringers would be backups on. I think this team's pretty deep. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you I wasn't happy with the way that Price played tonight or Ridley played tonight. Certainly it's better than the alternative of them going out and being invisible. I'd rather see the Patriots pile up 47 points than, you know, 10, like a lot of these other teams that are playing games tonight. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you it was bad. Let's just not overreact to it. That's all. Somebody's got the ball. Or somebody's got to get the ball, whether it's Ridley running it, whether it's Taylor Price and Aaron Hernandez receiving it. So I would say let's not get too overboard and saying, well, you know, these backups would be starters on a lot of teams. I wouldn't go quite that far. Let's see if Ridley and Price lock up spots on this roster first. I mentioned you can email us, webradio@patriots.com. That's where Tassine writes in. Hey guys, Tassine in Connecticut. So I came from work to look up the stat sheet. And obviously, I didn't find anyone I wanted to see, but was more surprised by Mallett's stat line than Brian Hoyer. And I was finally happy to see Taylor Price. So look, I would say Hoyer, I expected Hoyer to play well. So I'd actually agree with the scene on this, right? I spent some time. I know Jeff Howe from Nesson.com has been tweeting this out throughout the night that, look, Hoyer has a chance to be a quarterback for the Patriots. He has a chance to start in the league, and he has a chance for the Patriots to flip him to another team. And I think Howe does a good job pointing this out, that, look, it may not be this preseason because we're getting later in the preseason, and maybe with such an abbreviated offseason, it'll be difficult to move him. But next preseason, especially if Mallett progresses, I think there's a good chance that the Patriots could move him for a draft pick. I just think Hoyer is a nice backup for this team and potentially could start in the league. That's the way I feel about him. So
he's kind of caught in no man's land right now.
Right.
That's the way I feel. Like, you know, you got Brady, who probably, God willing, has 3 or 4 good years left.
And then they got potentially the guy of the future behind him.
That's enough of a time window to kind of have Mallett as his understudy, who was a third-round pick. And don't forget, Hoyer was an unsigned free agent. So it's just kind of he's caught sandwiched in the middle of those two agendas.
I think that's a good way of putting it. No man's land for Brian Hoyer. But I expected him to play well, so I'd agree with the scene. I'm more surprised by Mallett. Absolutely more surprised by Mallett. I wasn't positive he was going to come in and look the way he did. I thought he played very well, so I'd agree with that 100%. Tassine ticks through a few questions as well, and we'll read them to you in rapid-fire fashion here, and then we'll answer a couple of them. Do you think Brian Hoyer can be the next Kevin Cobb? How do you guys evaluate Patriots first-round pick Nate Solder? Since we didn't see much of the defense and there were about 90 players to be cut from 53 in August, I was thinking that players from the offense would be cut. But since the offense exploded, now it's going to be tough to cut offensive players, even though they played the Jaguars. Mark Anderson at the DN was pushed around today. And is it still an 8-man practice squad, or did they increase it? Kevin, do you know the answer to that last one? 8-man practice squad? I believe it's still the same, isn't it?
Yes.
So still an 8-man practice squad. So there's your answer to the last one. In terms of offense or defense, look, they didn't play anybody. So it's hard to really sit here and play the cuts game for me. Mark Anderson, I went back and forth. And I was talking about this before the broadcast. I thought Anderson was disruptive when he came in sub packages early on third downs. But late in the game, when he had to hold the point of attack, I do think he got pushed around a little bit. When he wasn't in just pure pin-your-ears-back mode third and long, I thought he struggled a little bit. But situationally, I thought Anderson played pretty well. Those first two questions, I spent a lot of time talking about Nate Solder tonight. Thought he held his own. Don't think he blew you away like some of these other offensive contributors, but I thought Solder held his own. And on Brian Hoyer being the next Kevin Cobb, if Brian Hoyer is going to fetch you a guy like Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie plus a good draft pick, I would say the Patriots would have traded him yesterday. So not Kevin Cobb, but I think maybe Matt Schaub.
Yeah.
Or maybe even Matt Cassel isn't a terrible analogy for Brian Hoyer.
He's Matt Cassel with a little bit weaker arm.
I just think there's a chance that you can move him to another team. Maybe you don't get quite the same returns that some other teams have gotten for some of those guys. Schaub, Cobb, even Cassel. Maybe you don't get exactly that kind of return.
But on the flip side, Pac-Man, you see the value of a serviceable starting quarterback in the league right now.
Well, and look at how many teams around the league need quarterbacks, Kevin.
There's so many people shopping.
100%.
And that just drives the market up.
So, look, I agree with that 100%. And I just think that sooner or later he's going to find a spot starting in this league. I'd agree with that. Or at least the team's going to say, hey, we'll give you a draft pick for this guy. And if Mallett's going to be the guy of the future anyway, I don't know about this year. I don't know if the Patriots are comfortable doing it this year. But maybe next offseason, they're a little more aggressive in moving Brian Hoyer. And you know what? You pointed it out, Kevin, as an undrafted guy. How good a business is that to develop the guy? You know, they tried it with Zach Robinson last year. Didn't work. You move on to the next guy. Tried it with Crompton. Didn't work. Move on to the next guy. Now they have Mallett in here.
And this is where you have to give our, you know, the Patriot football operations staff and those scouts their credit, because they went out and looked at him and they found him basically off the scrap heap after the draft. And he walks in here, signs as a, you know, an undrafted free agent.
Well, just look, I know the analogy's been out there before, but how the Packers, with Brett Favre's backup, how many guys did they turn over year after year after year? Hasselbeck, Aaron Brooks, they flipped those. It was this good business that they had going on. You bring them in. Best case scenario is they're a backup in case Favre ever got hurt, which he didn't. And if not, you develop them, you move on to the next guy, you flip them for draft picks. It's a good business to develop behind Tom Brady. You're going to need a successor at some point. And if not, maybe in the interim, you flip them for a pick.
I've always wanted to be a Packer. I think I always will be a Packer.
Yeah, we heard that a few times.
Yeah, we've heard that one, you know, a little too much for my stomach, to tell you the truth.
For a while, we thought we were going to be hearing, you know, I always wanted to be a Dolphin.
Always loved playing here with the New York Jets. Always loved playing in Minnesota. Yeah, I wouldn't write him off, but that's a... That's another story.
That's
another story
that's
for another
dolphin.
Day. No, yeah, I was able to pick up on that. So, Kevin, I spent a lot of time expounding my offensive stars, my takeaway from the game tonight. We still want to hear from you. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. Biggest takeaway for you, Kev?
Ridley, by far. Far and away. For me, it didn't really matter about who he did it against, I don't think, as much, because I wasn't all that sure of what we were going to get out of him. To be honest, Pac-Man, when we were in the draft, if you had put a gun to my head and said, hey, who's going to be the more productive player on this team, I would have said Vereen. Given...
But have you changed your opinion on that?
I think I have.
You think you have or you have?
I think I have. Here, look at you putting the gun to my head already.
Well, no, I just mean, you know, you think you have.
No, I thought Vereen, with his ability to catch the ball out of the backfield and the fact that he was a little bit more shifty, would be able to contribute... But now, after looking at Ridley, and I know you're going to call me crazy, but he's definitely a more bruising back like Benny. I don't think you would call Ben Jarvis Green Ellis a shifty,
nope,
or agile
elusive
running
no,
back.
Not words I'd use for Green Ellis.
And I'm not
no.
willing to put Ridley in that category quite yet, but he definitely has a little bit of juke in his,
so,
in his giddy-up.
So I agree with that. So
which I didn't know that he had.
So that's one of those things, right? I mean, the way he was built and the way you kind of see him on the field at training camp, bruiser. Banger.
Corey Dillon.
Bigger body. Just even
Antoine Smith.
Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, I think, is a fine comparison,
yep.
right? Like, he's closer to that.
Yep.
And Vereen is closer to Woodhead,
exactly.
right? Or closer to a Kevin Faulk type of role. Although Vereen may be a better blend, or Vereen may be that every down kind of guy.
Historically, since the Corey Dillon, Antoine Smith era, the guys like Kevin Faulk and Danny Woodhead have been more productive.
Absolutely.
And they have got the bulk of the receiving and, you know, the third down draw plays,
but look,
all that good stuff.
I wouldn't say that Stephen Ridley exactly looks natural catching the football out of the backfield.
I wouldn't say that,
but he was better at it than I anticipated. Certainly targeted a lot more than I anticipated, and I'd agree, Kevin. He had that degree of elusiveness. So do I feel better about him making this team?
I do.
I mean, third round pick should make the team.
I do.
But do I feel better about it? Absolutely. I don't know that he's vaulted ahead of any of those other guys. I don't want to vault him ahead of Vereen before I see Vereen in a game situation. And I still think Vereen's going to be that guy out of those two. But I look, it's hard to not come away impressed with at least the running style of Stephen Ridley. Those first couple of touchdowns from short yardage out, those were exactly like Green Ellis. That's exactly how Green Ellis runs in those short yardage situations.
Exactly.
So I agree.
I went from third round pick probably going to make the team because he's a third-round pick, like you said, to kind of, ooh, this guy might be able to help us this year. I'm not going to say he's going to go out and run for 1,000 yards or lead the team in carries or anything crazy like that, but I think that in situations when called upon, I think that he's a guy that could make an impact. And I did not know that coming into tonight, and that's the opinion that I'm starting to formulate after watching him tonight.
I got to tell you, and I know guys on PFW in progress, specifically Andy Hart, big Taylor Price guys, right? Like, I know that. And I've seen him in training camp. And, you know, there were certainly flashes out there in training camp, but it is a lot different to see it in a game situation. And you can see the speed, whether it was on that short catch and run from Ryan Mallett, which turned into a 50-yard play, whether it was on that strike down the field from Brian Hoyer. Like, you just see that there are some there's raw talent there. At the very least, there's raw talent there. There's raw athleticism there with Taylor Price. But then you see plays like he made in the back of the end zone, and you go, well, okay, maybe the hands are a little better than I was giving him credit for. And again, the way I came into this season and the way I looked at the receiver depth chart, the three at the top are clear. Ocho Cinco, Welker, Branch, in whatever order. Those guys are clear, right? There's probably three other guys for the next couple of spots, and maybe Matt Slater makes a team as well in more of a special team role. But if you're talking true wide receivers, I know Slater's a receiver on the roster, but if you're talking true wide receivers and you assume there's five spots, then it comes down to Edelman, Tate, and Price, those three guys for two spots. And initially, I told you this earlier, the way I looked at it was Price against Edelman. But the more I think about it, it's really Tate against Taylor Price for that quote-unquote either fourth wide receiver spot or fifth, however you want to look at it. But as that deep guy, the guy who can strike a little bit of fear into the heart of defenses as a legitimate deep threat, as somebody with some speed, as somebody who can quote-unquote go stretch the defense, that's sort of the way I look at it now. And I sort of line those two guys up against each other. And I came into this season thinking Brandon Tate wasn't 100% set, but was in pretty good shape and was on pretty solid footing when it came to that wide receiver, that deep threat spot. And I just think he could be in more of a competition than I was initially giving him credit for, because they have guys who can return kicks on this team. They have guys who can contribute in the punt return game, special teams as well, Julian Edelman being one of those guys. So to me, I just think his situation is a little more tenuous than I gave it coming into tonight. And the fact that he couldn't get on the field, didn't even dress tonight, I would say is not promising for his situation. Certainly not a good start anyway for Brandon Tate.
I love the way you look at it. I got to be honest with you, when I'm watching this team in training camp, watching the in-stadium practice, it truly is at this time of year a competition for these jobs. And it just sort of resonated with me when you were like, okay, it's this guy versus this guy, and it really is. And I don't think a lot of fans look at it like that. But you want these guys to succeed. You root for the colors, but at the same time, it's interesting to watch the competition and the battles that go on within the team. And I think that's a very, you know, unique way of looking at it, especially this early in the year.
You feel like, just as a fan, you missed out on an opportunity to see some things tonight without a lot of the starters playing?
Yeah, I would have been a little bit upset, I'm not going to lie. If I was a season ticket holder, and many of the season ticket holders call up, Patriots.com radio and will vent their frustrations about, hey, you know, why am I paying a regular season price to see two preseason games? And, I mean, I get that frustration, but it's part of the package when you buy season tickets, and that's just the way it is. But, yeah, if you're making the trip, Adam, think of it from this perspective. A lot of the season ticket holders aren't from, you know, let's say the Foxborough area.
Mm-hmm.
If you're driving 6 hours from Maine or 7 hours from New Hampshire or Connecticut or wherever you may be coming from, we probably have fans that come from New York. And you get all the way here and you hear 12's not playing, 75's not playing, 83, 85. You just go down the list and you see them on the sideline, but you don't get to see anything. I don't think there's any logical person out there who would call themselves a football fan that would say they weren't disappointed in that situation.
No, and look, I understand it. I get the fans' frustration, and I get that Bill Belichick is doing what's best for the team. How many times have we heard him say that?
It is
billions
what it is.
And billions of times, right? So I get it, and thanks, Bill, for weighing in.
I got to go with Living on a Prayer.
But, you know, to me, I don't think Bill Belichick owes it to the fans, in other words, to play these starters. That's not my gripe with Belichick not playing the guys. I just think you have a finite amount of time. You have a finite amount of time. Training camp, OTAs, those things are wiped out, or at least to an extent, there wasn't training camp. So I'm not coming at you from the fans are robbed. And I just think, of course they are.
Oh,
and that's just an old argument. And it's the way it is. It's like when people call up and they're like, oh, athletes are overpaid. It's like, right. And the sky's
so
blue.
Ridiculous.
Okay. Exactly. I don't even get the point of having that argument. Like, yeah, if you're a fan, you shouldn't have to pay full ticket prices for a preseason game. I get it. Fine. But the fact that you show up and you don't see the starters, Bill Belichick doesn't owe that to you. He doesn't. Your gripe is with.
He's trying to, quote, do what's best for the football.
Fine. And I don't have a problem with that. That, you know, that's fundamentally, he doesn't feel like he owes it to the fans. Fine, he doesn't have to. Just like he doesn't owe it to the media to be this quotable guy. Like, he doesn't know that to us either, right? So those are things that I don't spend a lot of time worrying about. But when you do only have so much time, Kevin, this is more where I come from with this, is, okay, you only have what, a week plus of training camp. Then you have these 4 weeks of preseason games, and this is where you can work on things. And you only have so much opportunity at game time and getting that chemistry down, and especially offensively, you know, especially getting that rhythm and that timing down. You only have so much time to do it.
You have 14 days, Pac-Man, and mind you, with the new CBA, it's one mandatory rest day per 7 days, so that cuts you down to 12. And I mean, yesterday, for all intents and purposes, was a no-pad, no-nothing walkthrough.
They're off what, tomorrow, or is it Saturday? They're off. They're off tomorrow.
They're off tomorrow. Yeah. So it's, like you said, and it's an interesting point, that when you look at who played in the football game tonight, didn't tonight, even though it was a game, almost seem like it was a scrimmage or a practice?
Yes, 100%. Like. And so, look, maybe it helped answer you some questions about the bottom of the roster, but isn't that what the fourth preseason game's for? And look, I understand where you guys are coming from, and I heard a lot of this during the week on ESPN Boston Radio, ESPNBoston.com from noon to 2. I heard a lot of this where, well, you can't have Solder protect Brady's blind side. But does anybody expect Matt Leick to be back for the next preseason game? Because to me, it doesn't sound that way. So at some point, you were going to Solder anyway. So what's the difference of Solder protecting Brady's blind side week 2 or 3 than week 1? At some point, he's going to have to do it. So I don't know. I just felt like, with only so many practices, with only so much training camp, there's no OTAs, there's 4 preseason games to play your guys. Maybe they play him more in the fourth game than they would have. Maybe that's the game where Belichick toys around with it, and that's fine. But I just think there's only so much time to get these guys up to speed, and this was a missed opportunity on some level. I don't think it's going to cost the Patriots. I don't think it's going to turn them from, you know, a 12-win team to an 8-win team. Like, I don't think that's the case. I don't think that is the takeaway from this game tonight. But I would have liked to see some of those guys out there for no other reason than for me to answer some of these questions about how's the offense going to look? Is it going to be too tight end? Is it going to be 3 wide? What are we going to see, you know, throughout the course of the season from this offense? 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can also email us, webradio@patriots.com. It's Patriots postgame with Adam Jones here on patriots.com. We're going to be doing this after each and every Patriots game throughout the season, preseason, regular season, into the postseason. We're live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Make sure you bookmark this. And I know a lot of you are already into Patriots pregame social, Andy Hart, Paul Perillo, and we're going to be doing the same thing on the back end of these games, breaking these down. We're going to be bringing you Bill Belichick, his postgame press conference each and every week, as we did tonight, in games that Tom Brady actually plays in.
Yeah.
Kevin, we'll be bringing you Tom Brady as well.
You can hear both those live right here
on Patriots.com. So again, bookmark this as a place where you can really break down a lot of these results for the New England Patriots and these games from the New England Patriots here on Patriots.com. And just tonight, couldn't ask for a much better way to start the preseason, just in terms of an overwhelming victory. I thought one of our emailers pointed it out great. It was, hey, look around at some of these other scores. And not to say the Patriots are going to, you know, go 16-0 in the regular season and set all kinds of records, as they did in 2007, but look at some of the other scores. 17-15, Arizona-Oakland, right? You look and you see a final.
Got to think that was a pretty game to
watch. See a final in Philadelphia, 13-6, and Mike Vick started that game.
Yep.
24-17, Seattle beat San Diego. 24-23, Dallas beat Denver. It's like you look around and you say, Patriots put up 47 points and Brady didn't play. So, look, for how you scripted it, and for how many of your backups played in this game, bottom of the roster guys played in this game, I think it's a pretty promising start. The only thing I would tell Patriots fans, and I feel like we tell you guys this every preseason, and when I say you guys, just football fans, every preseason, rookie from last year who you didn't get to see a lot, Taylor Price, catches a touchdown and puts up 100 yards in your mind's eye. You go, well, this guy can be a contributor. This guy can be a player. Stephen Ridley, first professional game, 3 touchdowns. This guy can be a player. Ryan Mallett, third round pick. Pretty decent night.
The draft doesn't look all that bad.
You know, so you can kind of sit there and you go, I understand why you guys get excited, but part of my job is to say, well, all right, let's pump the brakes a little bit. Let's not go overboard on this. Yeah, it was impressive.
Let's rain on the parade.
Not a lot of nitpicking to do here. Not a lot of nitpicking. And the biggest I've heard is Nate Solder's pass blocking was a bit of a nitpick. Aaron Hernandez, bit of a nitpick. And fans coming out and not seeing the starters. Yeah, that's really the biggest nitpick on the night, Kevin.
To add on to it, there were, you know, a few too many penalties, we'll say, on both sides, but especially on this side.
Look, you want a nitpick? Missed extra point.
Yeah, yeah.
Blocked. You know,
is that blocked, by
I mean,
the
look,
way?
A couple of fumbles blocked. By the page. I mean, look, if you really want to get into it and nitpick it, I just thought Gostkowski, I didn't even mention the missed extra point.
Yeah.
Just because I thought he had such a good night kicking the
football.
I mean,
that might not have had to do with him.
But look,
have to look at it again.
Look, next week, on Patriots postgame here on Patriots.com. I think we're going to have a better idea of how this team's going to look. We're going to get a look at some of these starters offensively and defensively. We'll have a better idea on the depth chart. And we will talk to you next week here on Patriots.com. Make sure you keep it locked here. Patriots Football Weekly in progress. Also, Patriots pregame social. And I'll talk to you next week right here. Patriots postgame with Adam Jones, Patriots.com.
This has been the Patriots Postgame Show with Adam Jones on Patriots.com Radio. For more news, analysis, and reaction from today's game, tune into Patriots.com Radio all week. Tuesday through Thursday, starting at noon, it's PFW in Progress, Patriots Playbook, and the Pete Sheppard Show. Next Thursday night, the Patriots are in Tampa Bay to take on the Buccaneers. Tune into the Patriots Postgame Show immediately following the game. Log on to Patriots.com anytime for the most up-to-date news and information on your favorite team.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.